Good morning. I'm extremely happy to be here this morning. It's good to be back in Leduc. I just have to apologize that this is my last Sunday in Alberta, and I'm actually dying to see my wife, so I'm a bit distracted. It's because I'm anticipating Tuesday afternoon. I want to give you special thanks for your support to the ministry that I'm involved in Honduras. For 8 years, you've been faithful in your support, and I hope that we continue for many years to come. But thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Lord and Savior, at this time, in this place, I ask that you fill our space with your Spirit. I pray that you will be with me as I read your word and as I give a message, that I may be true and give you honor and glory. In like manner, I pray for those that hear. Open their hearts that they too may accept the truth of your word. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Three scripture lessons this morning, and we shall see how well my voice does. Genesis 11, 27 through 32. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah. She was the daughter of Haran and the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarah was barren and she had no children. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, and the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 through 16. The record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abram was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram. Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud. Abiud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And finally, Galatians chapter 3, just a few verses, 6 through 9. Consider Abram. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abram. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abram. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abram, the man of faith. The word of the Lord. In Honduras, I'm known as the missionary. I'm also known as 0508-2009-02019. When I cross an international frontier, I'm HG089090. And when I pay my taxes, I'm 383-780795. But my name is Casper. I'm Casper John Michael Geistifer. Names are important. They give us an identity. They anticipate who we might become, and they give hope of how we might be. John Michael Geistifer is a name that goes back to before 1800, well into the 1700s. Every firstborn son from 1780s to me is John Michael Geistifer. And so I have a long tradition behind me, and I can count many people who have given value to my name. I don't know what they all did, but I know one of them made wine. That's kind of fun. Casper is the name my parents gave me. When my mother was pregnant with me in Jasper Place in Edmonton, she read the biography of the writers of the Heidelberg Catechism, and one of them was Casper Olivianus, and that's where I get my name. My mother was extremely impressed with the Heidelberg Catechism, and so she named me Casper in honor of that man, and not Casper the Friendly Ghost. And I could say that my last name is Tinga Geistifer. My mother was a Tinga, my dad's a Geistifer. And our lead elder knew my dad and asked me why I was wearing a jacket. I live with the legacy of those who have gone before. They are part of the people that have shaped me and made me what I am today. Now, I'm not going to throw off my jacket. I know that my dad did that kind of stuff, but it's not hot today. But in many ways, I'm standing on the pulpit because of who my dad was. I fought it for many years, but I learned in my home about faith, what the little children were about. As I was growing up, my dad told stories about his mother, my grandma Anna, and how she showed him to be a man of faith. My grandmother died in a concentration camp. And it's incredible to hear my dad talk about his mother, not how she died, but how she lived. I grew up in the parsonage, and I absolutely hated it. It was not good. But my dad showed all of our family what it was to be a man of faith, what it was to take hold of God's hand and walk with him. Genealogy is important that way. In our families, we learn many things. I'm proud of the fact that I learned to have faith by the example of hearing my grandmother's stories and my dad's life. I'm really having trouble with the dry weather. 2 weeks ago, my uncle died, and I went to Victoria for his funeral, and my British Columbia cousins, myself and my brother, we got together and we talk about family and we talk how it's important to bring family together. And we do that because we think and we believe that when our family is united, we can make sense out of life. And that's what genealogy is all about. If you go to ancestry.ca, for example, and you see their commercials on TV, it's always, now I know who I am, and I think my life will be better. But the reality of the matter is, life is messy, and genealogies show us the positive side and the negative side. But we don't talk about this side. And I'm going to tell you about my life. I learned faith. But my dad is an orphan. And my dad has a temper. And I learned that also. I learned how to explode like a volcano. I didn't know any better. That's how I was raised up. My mom is a wonderful woman. I learned to love music from her, and I also learned to walk in faith from my mother. But my mother's an alcoholic. And I was raised by an alcoholic. And I learned how to drink. And it wasn't fun. My mother also suffered from severe depression. She told me stories from her family. My grandfather was depressed, and he always sat in the window of his home in Edmonton, and he looked at his flower gardens, and he was very quiet. He hardly ever said a word. My uncle committed suicide in front of his mother, in front of my mother. My mother's grandmother was an abused wife. Life is messy. And our genealogies have both pieces. We like to think, as my cousins do, that if we pull the family together, we can overcome all this badness, all this negative stuff. But at the end of the day, genealogy is not sufficient. At the end of the day, we cannot bring all of our DNA together and make ourselves perfect. We need something else. So when we read the genealogy of Jesus Christ, it starts, and Terah was the father of Abraham. Abram was the father of Isaac, and it ends, and Joseph was married to Mary, who was the mother of Jesus Christ. And here we learn that genealogy can also have a different ending. Jesus Christ changed the genealogy, changed the DNA, redeemed us, took our brokenness away, and made us whole. I grew up in a parsonage, and I just told you I was raised by an alcoholic. I was raised by a father who could get angry. Life is messy. But I also experienced the mercy of Jesus Christ. I did not want to be a person who stood up here and preached. There's no way that I wanted to relive my childhood. But here I am. And it's because of my parents, and it's because of grace. I cannot depend on my DNA to be here. I can only be here for the grace of God. And so family changes, and how we think of ourselves has to change. I'm a Geist Vertinga. or a Tinga Geistifer. And I'm proud of where I come from, but I'm also proud of what I become, because now I'm a son of God. In May of 1957, my mom and dad took me to church at Third CRC in Edmonton and had me baptized. And when they brought me here and held me out and the pastor sprinkled water on my head, I became part of a larger family, and I belong to you as brother and sisters. We're all together in this. And I was renamed. I'm Caspar John Michael Geistifer, son of Jesus, brother and sister to you all. And that makes life exciting. I didn't stay in Edmonton long, 2 years. But the whole church was part of my formation. My parents made a promise, the church made a promise, and I was educated from the get-go to this day. I went to Sunday school, I went to Christian day school, Christian high school, Christian college, one secular university, and seminary. I was formed by our family. And so I might not have wanted to be like my dad, but I really didn't have a choice, because the mercy of God brought me through our family. You formed me. And so you have to take responsibility for who I am. That's part of what we did. I was really amazed to see your praise and worship team. You did a good job. But to see you up here with guitar and the other young man singing from the depths of his heart, and the young lady, I believe, was up there, and you. And it brought joy to my heart. We as a family come together. We recognize each other's gifts. We form each other, you. And that's who we are. And you think if you think messiness is bad, take a look at the genealogy here in Matthew. We don't like to talk about messiness. We're Dutch. We're orderly. We like to have things done in a certain good way, and everything's good and clean, right? But you heard mention of Terah. Terah seduced, I'm going to say, her father-in-law, Judah. Terah was married to Judah's first son. He died. According to Jewish law, Judah had to give his second son so that Terah could have children of her own. He died. So Judah said, I am going to hide my third son so Terah cannot marry him, because I don't want him to die. Terah disguised herself as a prostitute. Judah met her at the city gates and decided that he needed to sleep with a prostitute. Terah became pregnant, and Judah was the father to the next generation. We have one prostitute in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. A little bit messy. Then we have Rahab. We all know that Rahab hid the two spies who came into Jericho. But Rahab lived on the top of the wall of the city of Jericho, and that's where prostitutes lived. And she's mentioned in the genealogy as the mother of Boaz. A little bit messy, two prostitutes. Then we have Ruth. Nice story. I love the story of Ruth. But Ruth came from Moab. Ruth came because Eliezer and his family, Naomi and the two sons, gave up their birthright, fled to Moab because of a famine, and went to the enemies. Ruth is the daughter of enemies. and she married into the family and is in the genealogy. A little bit messy. And finally, we have Bathsheba. And we know this story also. King David lusted after a beautiful woman, had her husband killed so that he could marry her. Life is messy. Life does not flow like we would like it to go. And God says to us in this genealogy that we have here in Matthew, I can overcome that. I can beat it. I received from my mother and from my grandmother the problem of depression. My depression is so severe that I have type 2 bipolar. And it runs in my mother's family. I have a cousin who disappeared off the face of the earth several years ago. She was also bipolar. We don't know what happened to her. My sister is severely bipolar. She cannot take care of herself. And here I stand. God says, messiness does not matter. Look at this genealogy. At the end of it all is Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. If you believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter. We can overcome it. I got extremely sick last year. I had pneumonia, and when they took an x-ray of my lungs, they saw cancer. And when they did a biopsy of the cancer, they says, go to the States. I went to the States, the biopsy was confirmed. I have cancer, and I don't have long to live. They're going to put me on chemo for 6 months and see what happens. 2 days later, the doctor phones me up and says, we can't find the cancer. We can't confirm the cancer. But you have an infectious disease in your lungs, so we're going to send you to the infectious disease doctor. And you have to understand, the x-rays of my chest were white and not black. And it was a big white thing that covered both my lungs. By the time I got to the infectious disease doctor and had another x-ray taken, my lungs are black. I'm sorry, we can't find anything. You can go home. So I went back to Honduras, back to work. And then I lost 80 pounds. 80 pounds falling off your body without reason means cancer. And so I went through the whole routine once again. And people today ask me, Casper, how are you? And I say, I've never been healthier. I had a miracle. I have no other way to explain what happened to me. Genealogy also gives us these bodily things. I can't explain exactly where everything comes, but God says, I can overcome it. I can make it better. So when you sit here in Leduc, and you think about where you come from, and you think about the hopes that your parents had when they held you in their arms and gave you that name, what were they thinking? What were they dreaming? My parents certainly didn't dream of me being a missionary, but they were tickled pink the day I said, I had to give in to God. Leanne and I are going overseas to be missionaries. We didn't have a choice. God forms each and every one of us. Jeremiah 1 says, before you were born, I knew you, and he knew me as Caspar John Michael Geistifer. He knows you as you are, before you were born. Psalm 137 says, I knit you together in the womb of your mother. I made you. You're mine. And that's pretty awesome. It doesn't matter what we look like. What matters is that God made us. He knew us before. And he says, I've got something special for you. I couldn't do what I'm doing if it hadn't been that way. But I couldn't do it if I had not been part of this family. And so when he comes up and sings, you have to remember that you are all responsible for him. We don't know what he's going to look like when he spreads his legs and gets tall like him. We don't know that yet. But we have a responsibility. And for that one also. And for the ones who are old and who cough. Because we do get sick. We do suffer from our brokenness. But we're all baptized. We all confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Galatians tells us our faith puts us into the family, into the covenant, into the genealogy. And that becomes our genealogy, whether we like it or not. That's who we are. I don't like to tell my story. It's not happy. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, it was really hard to go to high school with the mother I had. They weren't happy years. But God says, it doesn't matter, Casper. We can overcome that. My mother died 6 years ago, and her request was that I be the minister. And I had a choice. Could I remember my mother's alcoholism, or could I remember my mother as a daughter of Christ, as my sister, as our sister? And so it was a joy to represent my mother at the funeral. This is who we are. In my work, if you come tonight, you'll see this. This is what I do. I tell people, if you believe, we become one family. We're not all Dutch. And we know that. Some of us have German blood, others have Russian blood, maybe Danish blood. But there's other genes coming into our family. And we're all the richer for it. If you come tonight, you'll hear the story of Ashley. Ashley's a young lady, 25, 26. How old are you?
Me?
Yeah. 40. Yeah, young lady. You look young. Is that your daughter?
Yeah.
Okay, a young lady. Ashley's a young lady like your daughter. What's your name?
Cammon.
And Ashley came up to me. Cammon came up to me and says, I want to serve God, and I want to serve my church, and I want to serve my community. And that's what happens when we form our children. I don't know what Cammon does. I hope you're a good girl. You look like a good girl. But we have a responsibility to this young lady to make sure that she learns to walk in faith. It just doesn't happen. And you know that. We take our children by the hand from day one and we teach them to walk. Ashley, I want to serve God. I want to serve my church. I want to serve my community. Is now training other young people in her church and other churches to be mentors to at-risk kids. She's serving God, she's serving her church, and she's serving her community. Rigoberto, you'll see him tonight also. He used to run with the gangs. He has tattoos over his body, and Christians don't put tattoos on their body because that means you belong to the devil. One day, a friend told him, they're coming to kill you. And this happens when you live in the gangs. He ran into the mountains. He found a young lady like Cameron. They fell in love. They got married. And she says, come to church with me. Today, he's an elder. He has 4 kids. He makes houses out of adobe. And he works with me, with other people, to learn how to read the Bible. We work in the formation of our children so that they can become members of the family of God. If we don't work like that, his son-in-law, this guy, would not be here. Peter Mulder would never have gone to Honduras. And I would never have followed in my father's footsteps. It is our job to take our kids, hold them by the hand, and tell them, this is who we are. This is where we came from. There's nothing wrong with being Dutch or Christian Reformed. But we need to be Christian. We need to be Christ followers. We do that well. And let's not forget it. Education, but also telling our kids, you can go out. You can be the one who shows the other. This is what it means to walk in faith. This is what Abraham did. This is what Isaac did. This is what Jacob did. This is what Ruth did. This is what Tamar did. God takes us by the hand, forms us into family, and slowly but surely, the whole world will know that our God reigns. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we give you many, many thanks for giving us each other. We give you many thanks that in spite of our brokenness, in spite of our messiness, you are merciful to us. We give you many, many thanks for knowing us and calling us and for giving us hope and for giving us a place to call home. Please bless us and be honored by our worship today. Amen.